Well, at the moment, we're looking at a massive mountain of salt right ahead of us, and a truck just passing by, which I've got three trailers on it. I should imagine about 10-tonne of trailer. Would I be right, Jim, or not?
No, 30-tonne of trailer. There's 90-tonne all up on that.
The man's voice you just heard there is Jim Cooper, and he's come in to give us a bit of a hand. Jim Cooper is the Dampier Salt General Manager Operations here for the operations in Headland. And today we're taking a bit of a look back at Dampier Salt. It hasn't always been known as such over the years, but it's been an important part of the economy in the Pilbara. That's for certain, Arnold Carter. There's quite a rich history here.
Absolutely, yes. When it first started, it was known by a company called Leslie Salt. Then they passed on into a company called Cargill Salt, and then from Cargill Salt, it's gone on to its present ownership. But it's always been a great contributory as far as not only employment's concerned, but also for contribution to the natural growth of Port Hedland. And it's an enormous operation, and takes an enormous operation to keep to maintain. And of course, they've always been very good employees of people, so it's been a very, very consistent part of the industry of Port Hedland.
Jim, when did it start? And in simple terms, the stats then and what was shipped out to now?
Started in the first shipment went out 21st of March 1969. The first shipment went to Japan and they had 14,590 tonnes. Basically, the operation started off as a million tonne field, and over time it's grown where this year we plan on doing shipping out 4 million tonnes. So some of the stats when we're talking about that is we cover an area of 10,000 hectares in this operation, and we evaporate in a summer's day, in a hot summer's day, over a million tonnes of seawater in one day. So, significant. We have a significant footprint in the land here, and it's been a long part of Port Hedland, and I've seen it grow from the small part of Dampier Salt to where it is today, so it's pretty exciting.
We're looking at a big pile of salt in front of us. You notice it as you drive between South Hedland and Port Hedland. You can't miss it. It's big, it's white, it stands out. How much salt would be there, Jim?
That there's 300,000 tonnes in that stockpile currently. So we've got about 300 here, and we've also got about 150,000 tonnes down the port as well, ready to ship out.
This week, on our look back at some history in the Pilbara, digging it up, we are. I'm talking with Arnold Carter, and Arnold Carter is the president of the Historical Society in Port Hedland, and Jim Cooper, who is the Dampier Salt General Manager of Operations. Now, let's get back to the name, because as we pulled up, Arnold was on the phone. He said, I'll ring you back to someone he was speaking to. He said, I'm at Leslie Salt. And I thought, hang on, no, we're not. What's Leslie Salt got to do with it? That's not the name of this place. But obviously, the names have stuck with you over time, Arnold Carter.
Oh, absolutely, because Leslie Salt operated for such a long, long time, and it was an important part of the strategy of Port Hedland, and it was a good contributor, as far as the growth is concerned. And it stayed like that for many, many years, and they had such a terrible lot of trouble getting the place up and running. And in the early stages, I remember a couple of floods there. Almost, these ponds you see out there now didn't exist. They were all later on. The only ones we used to have were the ones coming off the Peter Mara, which didn't come in as far as this lot here. These are new ones. I'm not quite sure what year they came in, but yeah, Leslie Salt was a tremendous, and actually they were very, very good in the supplying of housing for their staff. They were the first ones that we sound as as going on the council side, that almost every single one of them had a staff. There was no fly-in, fly-out of that at all. They were all permanent staff and used to have lovely houses, and they were a real contributor as far as the growth of Port Hedland was concerned.
It all began in 1969. Jim Cooper is the Dampier Salt General Manager of Operations. Arnold Carter is with me as we look back at some of the history about salt production today in Port Hedland. You've been here, Jim, for 25 years. That means, if my calculations are right, you came in only a few years, really, after that late 70s period where it was almost decided that this wouldn't happen, this wouldn't go on, that you wouldn't have reached the 4 million tonnes that you're at today. You wouldn't have even had an industry here because of some pretty bad weather.
Yeah, back in 78, there were 78-79 cyclone season. There were three cyclones that wiped the intake area out, so it's the main area that we concentrate our seawater from. Plans were then that the Carga was deciding whether to close the place completely. there was a bunch of employees here that convinced the organisation that we would take it on, and it was led by a gentleman called Bob Cunning. He is well known in Port Hedland, and a few of his mates, and they went out there and tackled the issue and rebuilt the intake area and put a protection levee around those areas for future protection against storms and cyclones.
And it provided that protection, and here you are. That vision obviously put you in good stead.
Yeah, it certainly did, and we continue to improve year on year. We were challenged with Cyclone George 3 years ago, we've recovered from that, and again, we continue to invest within our operation to protect it for the future and want to continue to operate in Port Hedland.
It's looking pretty white to me, but occasionally you get a little hint of brown there, don't you, on the salt?
Well, we'll give a little bit of history on this one. I know I'm not supposed to tell you about this one, but in the early stages, believe it or not, Cargill Salt exported salt much, much more previous time than a certain iron ore company that hadn't been established. And it was very significant down on the port. You'd always see this wonderful big white pile of salt down there waiting to be shipped. And all of a sudden, when the iron ore came in, it started going brown. And then all of a sudden, before a shipment went out, you see the graders come up the top. They go right on the top of the salt pile over there, and they put take off as much as they could of this brown contamination, I used to call it, and bulldoze it to one side. And I understand that then become an impurity for the export of the salt, and the bill was accordingly passed on to the perpetrator who caused the industrial brownness that went on the pool. And I believe that went on for many, many years, but my spies report to me that now has been stopped, and they are now doing negotiations under the table.
I like your spies. I like Arnold Carter's spies. I think he was right up until maybe your last comment there.
Yes, he certainly was right up until the last comment. That was an agreement between Leslie and back then it was a Mount Newman Mining Company. So it was way back then, and it doesn't exist today.
And Jim Cooper, I've heard stories as well about the crystalliser ponds. Is that right? Crystalliser ponds. Sometimes turning a shade of green. Now, this was intentional in years gone by.
Yeah, it was intentional. We used a dye to accelerate the evaporation, so we would get an extra 15% growth in a crystallizer pond over that time. However, customers wasn't approved by customers, so we stopped using it some years ago.
Jim, for many, many years, and it was the talk of the town, was that you used to have some figurines out on the front entrance into your establishment in here, and people used to come from all over the town to go and see these figurines, and they were put up, and I think it changed on a 10-day or fortnightly basis, and they were certainly a tourist attraction to Port Hedland. What happened to them, Jim?
Oh, it started some years ago, and that was in the days of Cargill Salt. We had a storeman by the name of Russell Sullivan, who was a Mad Eagle supporter, and he used to get up really early in the morning. He used to change it every week. He found a pink panther at one of the rubbish tips, and he used this big human-sized pink panther. He would have it set up in a dinghy, fishing, sitting in a deck chair out in the front of the operation. He would have him up on a ladder on a light pole with a harness on, hard hat. So it used to get a lot of talk around town. He used to be dressed up as Santa Claus. He'd be out there with Easter eggs at Easter time. The school buses, kids used to love it going to school. What is the Pink Panther up to today?
And I think I still spot occasionally on the road between Karratha and Dampier a few shark fins and other paraphernalia. So there's still a bit of fun had.
Yeah, there is still a bit of fun had. We did get some complaints that it was distracting drivers going past their operations.
Yeah, got to be careful. Well, thank you both for your time and giving us a bit of a snapshot into the history of salt production in the Pilbara.
No worries.
Thanks very much, Scott. Thank you.